In the morning to you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. How are you today? You're listening to St. Mark Bemidji's podcast, a place to join with others in striving every day through the strength so generously given to us by the Spirit to grow in faith in Christ Jesus. Before we get into today's meditation, I'd like to tell you about a couple of important ministries at our church that you may not know about. Did you know that St. Mark has an email prayer list? We would love for you to join us in prayer for our brothers and sisters, and also for you. If you or your loved ones and your family so desire, you can be part of this. I don't send out junk mail or try to get you to buy anything with it. I actually type out the whole thing by hand weekly. And there is no concern of our hearts that our Father doesn't want to hear. We pray for many and varied topics. If you'd like to join us, our door is always open to you. Send me an email at john.kirk@stmarksbemidji.org, and I'll get you added to the list, or I'll tell you more about it if you have questions. And also, did you know that we have a school that offers K through 8th grade education in a safe, supportive Christian environment? If you're ready to help give your kids the solid foundation they need to be the light of the world, let us know. Don't have kids, or maybe yours are already grown? Don't forget to tell your friends about us. Enrollment is already underway for fall. Our tuition rates are quite reasonable. Today's lesson is titled Truth, and it was our meditation from this, the fifth week of Lent in the midweek service. It's based on John chapter 18, verses 33 through 40. Let's listen in now to Pastor Zamzo.
Human beings have always been enamored, bent on getting to the truth. It literally is part of every bit of our lives, from beginning, middle, to the end. In various aspects, we are focused in on the truth. And it's one of the reasons why this question of Pilate has reverberated down through the ages so well. What is truth? For a mom that's standing there looking at her little boy with chocolate smudged all over his face and says, "Johnny, did you go digging through the kitchen drawers?" "No." "Just tell the truth." The truth is important in every relationship. Husbands and wives in church. In fact, you can't really have a close relationship if you don't have the truth. Truth matters in every aspect of our life, from our workplaces to the games that we love to watch on TV when you see a football game or the like. The whole point of instant replay is to get to the truth. And truth is especially important when it comes to the courtroom. When a witness takes the stand, they swear that they will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Jurors take an oath well and truly try the case and render a true verdict. So it doesn't really surprise us then that as Jesus is standing here on trial, as the Son of God stands on trial before this Roman governor, the subject of truth once again comes up. This meeting was not by chance. In fact, that it had been recorded somewhere in the eternal history of the universe, foreordained, this meeting between this Roman governor and the Son of God. But the paths that these two men took to this moment to talk about the truth were very, very different. On the one hand, you had Pontius Pilate, who was probably born in Italy or around Rome, right in the heart and the core of the empire. Jesus was born in backwater Bethlehem in this insignificant village on some literally, pardon the phrase, but the armpit of the empire, There had always been problems in Judea for the Romans. Pilate, on the other hand, had received some of the best education that you could ever think of for his day. He had probably received military training. He had learned to work his way up through the Roman bureaucracy, trained as a soldier, whereas Jesus was, again, in Bethlehem or in Nazareth, learning the carpenter's trade under his father. When Jesus had begun calling his disciples to come and follow him, Pilate had probably presented his accolades before the emperor and was assigned and appointed to become the governor of Judea. The governor of Judea was not by any means an easy job. As I mentioned before, there had always been problems with the Jews. Since Rome had taken control of Judea, there had been many uprisings, there had been many rebellions, there had been many self-proclaimed kings, there had been many self-proclaimed saviors, and Pilate had probably heard his fair share of them before Jesus. No doubt he had probably heard whispers of what Jesus had done. He probably had eyes and ears out in the community that would have drawn his attention to this case. Stories of miracles, large crowds following him, the disturbances that would have happened at the temple in Jerusalem, the thing that happened roughly a week ago when most of the city had come out down to the city gates and praised this man as he rode into the city on the back of a donkey, and the crowds shouted, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us now, Son of David." It was the Passover festival, and well, just as it is with any big city, when the population of a town swells, crime swells. There were probably many things on Pilate's plate. An uprising right now is not something that he wanted. And as he got to the bottom of this case, as he plied for the truth, it became clear to him that he was indeed sitting on a powder keg. So when the Jewish leaders dragged Jesus to Pilate's palace early that Friday morning, the governor wants an accurate picture of what he's up against. He wants the truth. And as Jesus, the Son of God, stands before him, they have this conversation. And as we think about the truth and getting to the bottom of it, let's pick apart this conversation. Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Pilate wants to know, is Jesus a threat? Is this guy going to turn his back on me the second he leaves this room and if I let him go, is he going to get together a band of brothers and try to kill me, try to throw the Romans out? Are you the king of the Jews? It's a question that demands a simple yes or no answer. But Jesus wants to have a different conversation. "Is that your own idea?" he says. "Or did others talk to you about me?" Jesus would probably like to talk about what it means to be the king of the Jews. He would probably like to separate the whole idea in the baggage of what king of the Jews entailed in Pilate's mind. When you said king of the Jews, he probably wants to take that and throw that out the window and tell him the truth of what that means. Pilate still wants to get at the facts of the case. So he avoids Jesus' question. "Am I a Jew? Am I a Jew? Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you've done?" In other words, Jesus, You're the one standing in front of me. I'm the one asking the questions. And Jesus replies, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. Pilate then seems a little bit more intrigued. You are a king then, he says. Now we're getting somewhere. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. In other words, if you care about the truth, you care about the truth, Pilate. So do I. And I want you to know what it is. That's why I'm here. It wasn't chance that brought us two very different men together today. And then Pilate asks this famous question. What is truth? Considering what I mentioned before about Pilate's background and his own history, it's unlikely that Pilate is asking about some abstract philosophical notion of truth. Like relative truth, or is Jesus, are you living your truth? No, that's not what Pilate is talking about. Pilate's a military man. He's a practical guy who's negotiated his way up the ranks of the vicious Roman political system, and he's got a job to do. He wants to get to the truth. He knew very well how the truth could be manipulated or even used to one's own advantage in government. We've all experienced that over the last couple of years, haven't we? Politicians bending and twisting the truth. Pilate was familiar with it. Pilate looks at Jesus and says, what is truth? Your own people, your own religious leaders are the ones saying one thing, and here you are saying another. Who am I supposed to believe? What is truth? During Lent, during Holy Week, especially during Holy Week, we think a lot about the physical suffering of Jesus. Even as I'm reading these words in this gospel account, picture the condition that Jesus is already in. He's already been beaten and whipped by the soldiers once. We tend to focus in on that physical suffering of Jesus, but what about the emotional side of this? When he looked at Pilate, he did not see an enemy. He saw somebody that he was about to die for. When he looked at Pilate, can you imagine the emotional sadness that he felt? As Jesus, who sat there and came to testify to the truth, wanted so badly to share the truth of who he was with him. The Lord, who could see plainly and knew better than anyone how fallen the people of this world had become. There's only one way to God. There's only one way to live through Jesus. And Jesus wanted that for everybody. He wanted the crowds in Galilee to see that he had brought this truth more than earthly bread. He wanted the woman that he gave water to at the well to see that he was more than just the physical water that he could bring, that he was the truth. And he even wanted Pilate to see who he really was. Jesus came to testify to the truth. It's like, have you ever wanted people to believe something because you knew that if they did, it would change their lives? Like if you knew that somebody was suffering with some addiction and you knew that they could be set free from that thing, that there is a better way. I was talking to a lady today. She was telling me a story about some people who she saw while fishing. And they went all off to go do drugs, and that was their life. It was what they were addicted to. The thing is nobody had ever told him that there was a different, a better way to live, that they didn't need substance to exist, that was going to kill him. There's all sorts of people in the world around us who face all kinds of problems. Some of these things are self-inflicted. You want people to see the truth. Now multiply that infinitely. Jesus knew exactly what Pilate needed. Jesus knew exactly what those crowds needed. He knew exactly what the world needed more than anything. It's like you can see in Jesus' face standing there talking to Pilate more than anything. Pilate, if you were really interested in the truth, not the kind of truth that humans have distorted and twisted and bent around in their selfish plays at power, but the truth from God the Father, the truth that the Lord and the Lord alone reveals, that guess what? Despite everything that happens here today, He still loves you. That truth is why I'm here. But Pilate could only respond with this feeble question. What is truth? Sometimes you wish you just had like one snapshot of a tone, somebody's tone of voice. What was Pilate's tone of voice? In the end, it's hard to say. Whatever it was, it seemed to end the conversation. If Jesus answered Pilate further after that, the scriptures do not record it. Maybe he just looked at Pilate with a set of eyes that, though blackened and bruised, seemed to sink back into eternity, and a face with love on it that reached to the depths of his heart, so much so that Pilate had to turn and walk away. What is the truth? It's obvious. He's standing right in front of you. I am the truth. The truth is not a fact. The truth is not a formula. The truth is not found in a theory. The truth is a person. The Word made flesh, come to live among us. God made man. The final word from God on the source of salvation is standing right there. Friends, we live in some awfully confusing times. We're familiar with the same situations that Pilate was, where facts are oftentimes spun to get us to buy a product or to get us to vote for a candidate. Maybe we've trusted in some of these things from time to time, or people who present, or even a supposed friend who presents themselves as one person, but as their words and actions show, later on they're quite different. And we ask that same question, what is truth? Even experts and scientists and doctors and economists and judges often disagree about what the truth is or what the best path forward is. What is truth? We've asked that question so many times and in so many different ways and so many different areas of our lives that sadly sometimes it even affects the Christian faith. How can I know that this is true? With everything being so uncertain, how do I know that Jesus is true? Well, in this life, there are many things that we can't know for sure. What we can know is this: that Jesus was born into this world to testify to the truth, to be the truth, to reveal the very heart, to reveal the fact that the very heart of God is love. How can you be sure? Watch what happens after this trial. Watch as he willingly goes to the cross to pay for Pilate's sins, your sins, the sins of the man who drove the nails into his hands. That's how sure we can be. Walk to the tomb then on Easter morning to see Jesus declared the King of Kings, triumphing life, triumphing over death. Jesus wanted Pilate to see. He wanted Peter. He wanted Pilate. He wanted Peter. He wanted everyone, just as much as he wants you and me, to see that he is indeed the way and the truth and the life for all of us. And friends in Christ, sometimes I actually mentioned this briefly this morning in chapel for the kids in school. But we talked a lot about the Bible lesson this morning revolved around the man born blind, and I gave the illustration. Can you imagine what it would be like to never be able to see? Never knowing what light or dark really is or what it feels like. Never having that. Can you imagine living your life never, never knowing Jesus? Can you imagine never knowing Christ? Never having heard of Him? Never knowing who He is, never knowing what He's done, never knowing who you are because of Him. Can you imagine never knowing that? Not trying to toot my own horn here, but the other night I met a person that was exactly like that. I met a man who had never, ever heard it. The only time he had ever heard Jesus' name was when his mom stubbed her toe. And just the emptiness that was there, and the confusion and the sadness and the wonderment when I had 15 minutes on a car ride to tell him who Jesus was. For him to look at me and say, that makes so much sense. I have nothing to offer God. We have nothing to offer God. We can't build him a temple. We can't give him advice. We can't do anything to garner the favor of the divine. He must do it for us. That's the truth. He has to do it for us. There's 101 religions and more out there in the world, but there's only one that says God did it for you, that God did it for me. This is what Jesus came to testify to. This is the privilege that we have in our everyday conversations with people that we run into. Maybe they look like Pilate. Maybe they look accomplished, intelligent, brighter than us. Maybe they look poor. Maybe they look broke. Maybe they look like an addict. We pass by them every single day. But when the people of the world put us on trial, when they call us to account and to give the truth of to who Jesus is, when they ask you who you are and what He has done for you, say the truth. Confess the truth. What you know about Jesus and His kingdom. And it's especially powerful now in times like these when truth seems to be whatever or anyone wants it to be. Here we see a truth that is truly not from this world. A truth to which Jesus testifies to is just the thing that people are looking for. And you know, before they even open their mouth, that it's exactly what they need. What is truth? It's Jesus. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Keep your heart and your mind in Christ. Amen.
I sincerely pray that today's meditation on God's Word has enriched you. Didn't get enough of God's Word? Are you missing out on that in-person fellowship? We hold divine services right here in Bemidji, Minnesota at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Sunday school and adult Bible study is also offered between our Sunday services at 9:15 a.m. We also live stream our Sunday divine service at 8 a.m. You can ensure that you are notified when a stream is live or a new podcast is available by subscribing to our YouTube channel. It's easy to find by typing in St. Mark Bemidji in the search bar and clicking on the subscribe button. Want to listen to meditations the way I do every day? Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast app. Go to podcastindex.org and search for St. Mark Bemidji to find us. This is our fifth year producing this podcast, and there is a large archive of devotional material online available if you want to learn more about God and His Word. Visit www.stmarksbemidji.org or look in the show notes in this podcast for a link to this and many other meditations on God. If you have any questions or you would like more information about our church and its ministry, please visit our website, which is once again www.stmarksbemidji.org. May God bless the rest of your day.